Does anybody know anything about sound? Do you know what sound does?
Amplify.
You know that sound, it moves. Do you know that, I know this is going to get in my way. Do you know that every time that you speak, the atmosphere changes? That the sound is airwaves. And everything begins to change. So I want you to think about this. When you speak the name of Jesus, what do you think happens? You're not just saying Jesus. But you know, when you speak the name of Jesus, things begin to change. Atmosphere begins to change. You know, there's this song, and it's an old song. As Pastor Janet said this morning, it's really easy to remember the old songs. You know, if you were in church as long as I've been in church, which is a really long time, because my mama was ordained when she was pregnant with me. Is that right? Pregnant? Yeah. And she was ordained with the Four Square Churches in Los Angeles. And her and my dad. And when they ordained her and they prayed over her, she was slain in the spirit for 3 hours. And she was pregnant with me. This happened in January, and I was born in March. So I just really feel like I've been ordained even before I was born. You know, to preach. But that was totally a rabbit trail, so we're going to shoot that rabbit and get back to what I was talking about. But the name of Jesus, that song, Jesus, 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 there's something about the name of Jesus. You know, and when we look in the scripture and we see what Jesus did, his presence changed things. He didn't have to say anything, but his actual presence, he moved, he touched, and things began to happen. And the power that Jesus has given us is greater. As the scripture says, what I've done, you will do greater things. Because it's the power of who Jesus is and the freedom that Jesus gives us, and the Holy Spirit that gives us the authority. But speaking the name of Jesus, when you speak that, you go into a room when someone's sick. In the name of Jesus. You know, that's it. Amen. That's it. Amen. Because you're speaking with power and authority, and you're speaking a name that can change everything. Amen. It changes the atmosphere. It begins to break open the heavens. You know, when we sing and we praise the Lord, the heavens begins to open, because what are we doing? We're lifting up the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. The atmospheres begin to change. Today, I want to talk about what the blood of Jesus has done for us. Because when you think about the blood of Jesus, the first thing you think of, well, the blood of Jesus, what his shed blood, what did his shed blood do? It brought us salvation, right? That's the first thing we think of. But the reality is, Jesus' shed blood did more than bring salvation. It brought many, many things to us, specifically seven areas. And so today I want to talk about that, and I got to rearrange the furniture. Hang on, because I got to be able to see everybody. It's important that I make eye contact. Okay. I really believe that when we begin to understand the power of the blood, when we really get that, when we really get it in our spirit, and we get it in our thinking, then we will do greater things. So I would have to be really honest and say, my life has not always been wonderful. It's not always been, oh, okay, sirrah, sirrah. No, it hasn't been. There's been strife. There's been turmoil. Has anybody had a life like that? Has everything is like, okay, I can't do much more. You know, the pain that some of us have gone through, physical, mental, emotional, all of this stuff. But the beautiful thing is when we understand the blood of Jesus, then we understand the power, and that turmoil and strife and pain is nothing anymore, because we begin to understand what it does for us. The word saved actually in the Greek means sozo. And do you know what that means? It means to be made whole. Well, what does that mean? I really think that being made whole, when I accepted the Lord as my Savior, I became sozo, but I didn't understand what that meant, so I don't really know if I really walked in that. Being made whole means every part of you, body, soul, and spirit. Because we are made in God's image, and God is God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. So we're three as well. And if we can't walk in wholeness, then we got issues. You know, maybe we're like two-thirds walking in wholeness. You know, our flesh, our body, and our spirit is whole, but our emotions, our thinking isn't whole. So I don't know about you, but I know I have a lot of issues with the stinking thinking. Anybody else have? I love Joyce Myers. She's like one of my favorite people because she just makes everything so simple. She just breaks everything down, makes it all simple. And it's like if we could get a hold of our thinking and our imagination, can you imagine what our life would be like? I mean, really, think about it. Try to think about it without thinking about the thinking. You wouldn't, you know, oh, what happened? You know, Pastor Tony last night talked about, you know, just get up. Forget it. Get up. It's hard sometimes to forget about those things that people have said to you. But can you imagine if you, when that thought comes to you and you say, wait a minute, that's not who I am. That's not who God created me to be. If I'm in God's likeness, then, hey, I'm pretty good. I look great. I'm in his image, so I must be okay. Right? If we can get a hold of every time we think of that and just go, wait a minute, that's not, God, that's not you. But I have to admit, that's not easy to do. You know? But I know that the more that you practice that, stopping yourself, it gets easier. It's taken me about 15 years, but it does get easier. Instead of me spiraling out of control for 2 weeks, I do it for about 2 hours. So I feel like I've grown a lot. Amen. You know, 2 weeks, 2 hours, yeah, not too bad. Amen. Anyway. So I want to talk about the shed blood of Jesus. And you know, the fact is that Jesus actually shed his blood 7 times. And each time he shed his blood, he brought freedom to us and brought wholeness to us. The first place that he shed his blood was in Gethsemane. And if you remember the story where he went up there and he was praying, and he said to the Lord, Lord, you know, if this cup could pass by me, please make it so. Do you all know that story? And he was praying, and he went back down to the disciples, and he had said, hey, you know, would you please pray with me? And they were asleep. how frustrating that must have been. You know, it's like, I just asked you to do a simple thing. Could you just pray? So he went back up and he was earnestly praying. And you all remember that what happened is that actual blood, the scripture says blood actually came out of his pores. Do you remember that? It says sweat. Well, it was actually blood that came from his pores. And here's the interesting thing about that is that that's truly humanly possible, which really blew me away. I had no idea that that could actually happen. But they say that something to do with your blood vessels and when you're so intense that the blood would just come out of your pores, and that's where he was at. He was so intent, and he was just saying, God, you know, please, if you will, please let this cup pass from me. And you know, the thing is we lost our will in the Garden of Eden. And how interesting that when Jesus shed his blood, we actually got back our will in a garden.
Yes.
So Garden of Eden. And what happened? You know, Eve, she was deceived by the enemy. But Adam, he willfully disobeyed God. He knew, and he still disobeyed God. And so what happened is that because Adam disobeyed God, our will was, we no longer had our will. It was broken. In Rick Warren's, he has a series called Life Healing Choices, and he says that we have to first admit we are powerless before we can give God the power to give us our strength. So we have to turn over our will to God so we can get our will back. I don't know if any of you struggle with any kinds of addictions or any kind of issues just in your life. My family has had major issues with all kinds of addictions. It's generations, just way back. And I recognize that I had this in my life on a personal level, and it was a struggle. And even today, I still have some issues with just being in control of taking care of myself physically. And until I recognized the power of the addiction that was in my life, and saw how it destroyed many people, members of my family, and I went and got prayer, I did not have the willpower. I did not have what it took to overcome the things in my life that were destroying me. But once I went and I had prayer and I said, you know, this is in my life, and I don't want this. When I confessed what that was, you know, something broke in my life. And I never had any kind of issues with that again, anything. God completely set me free from that. But it took me to recognize that I had a problem with will, you know, because addiction is about your will. I don't have the power, right? I don't have the power to say no. And it could be a lot of things. I mean, I have a nephew that had issues with gambling and then drugs, you know, alcoholism. You just, anything, you name it. My family had multiple divorces and affairs. There was such a line of lust in my family. It just went on for generations and generations. And it was evident in my life. And it's like, God, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to be this kind of person. But until I said, I don't want to be this person, I want to be free from all of this, until I recognized that and I had no control, it continued in my life. But once I came to that place, Lord, no more. I stop it now. I don't want it in my life, and I don't want it to happen in my children. You know what? It broke. It broke like that. But it was recognizing that in my own power, I couldn't do it. I didn't have the willpower. But it was an understanding that Jesus, when he shed his blood in the Garden of Gethsemane, he brought back our will. But I believe that we have to recognize that it's because of him, through him, that we have the power. Because we can't do it on our own. You cannot do it on your own. You have to have the Lord help you to get through that. Today, if you get nothing else out of today, is I want you just to understand how much Jesus would do this just for you. Amen. He would have done everything he did just for you. For you. If you were the only person on this earth, he would have done it for you. He would have shed his blood as many times as he did for you. Because that's how much he loves us. He loves each of you that much. And when we can begin to understand how much he loves you, when I understand how much he loves me, that in itself gives me freedom. That in itself makes me say, I can face tomorrow. I can face what I'm going through right now because I have him and he loves me. And it doesn't matter what's going on in your life. It doesn't matter what you're struggling with. Because Jesus, he paid it all on the cross. He paid it all when he shed his blood. When he shed his blood, when they beat him, every time they hit him, 39 times, every sickness, every disease, he took it all. Every one of them. Every single thing that's wrong, he took when they beat him. You know, the amazing thing is, when you think about it, is we really don't know what he went through physically. We have no idea. I think the Passion kind of brings it into reality. I don't know how many of you saw that movie. It was kind of almost too hard to deal with. But that was really reality. And when you think about it in that, I mean, I bawled when I realized what he actually did for us. It was just overwhelming. But again, for me, it makes me see how much he loved me, that he would do that. The third place that he shed his blood was that he broke the curse of poverty. You know, Jesus' desire is that we should prosper in all things. And when we talk about prosperity, that's not just money. That's in life. You know, it's in relationships. I'll tell you what, I would trade all the money in the world just to have great relationships. Because nothing is better than relationships, good relationships. And that's what I feel. I'm very rich because of the relationships I have. You know, not just my family and my spouse, but the friends, church, you all. I mean, we're rich with that. We are so rich with that. And his blood was shed so that we didn't have to be alone, that we could be prosperous in all that we did. And, you know, the what happened was Adam, you know, when he was in Eden, you know, we have to blame everything on that guy. That's a man again, Tony. What is up with that? No, it's okay. But when he disobeyed God, God declared that the land was cursed and that he would have to work the land by the sweat of his brow, right? And so the ground that he had to work was full of thistles and thorns. So whenever they, after they beat Jesus, they then put a robe on him, right? But what else did they do? They put a crown of thorns. So my understanding is these thorns are about 3 inches long. Talk about piercing. That's some serious piercing. Well, you know, they just didn't sit it on his head, but they pushed it into his to his head. And the blood came down his face. But you know what? That blood that was shed, that broke the curse of poverty in our life, because the thorns represented poverty. But he broke that curse when the blood was shed and it flowed down his brow. It was broken. So no longer do we have to work by the sweat of our brow. But everything should be with ease, because, you know, when we have the Lord in our life, we understand how he operates. When we have the Holy Spirit, as Pastor Janet talked about, everything should flow. Everything should just come with ease, kind of just, you know, that wave. It should never be a struggle. Everything should come with ease. We are anointed to prosper. We're anointed to prosper. So we have to break that poverty mindset in our minds. We got to break it. You know, there's a whole world out there that's got all kinds of stuff, and it's not going toward the kingdom. And we need to be asking God to give us the revelation and understanding how to get that into the kingdom. How do we get those people in here to make money and these ideas and all this creative stuff and have it happen for the kingdom and not for the world? That's what we need to do. We really need to pray that. But we need to understand that we are not under the curse of poverty. That's been broken in our lives. We don't have to walk in that. We don't have to walk in that. That's a lie of the enemy. There's no reason to walk in it. And again, it's not about money. It's about understanding you're a prosperous person. Does that make sense? No? Prosperity doesn't have to do with money. It has to do with our life, the riches of our lives. You know, our relationships, what's going on with our life. That's what's prosperous. The encouragement, the nurturing. That's what prosperity is. It's not just money. That's just the tangible part is the money. That's always good, because I think God wants us to be prosperous financially too. You know, the scripture says in Malachi, if you bring your tithes and all your tithes and offerings into the storehouse, I will open up the windows of heaven and I will pour out so much blessings that you will not be able to contain it. Amen. You know, so there is some things we need to do. When we do that, I guarantee if you do that, you're going to be blown away.
Amen.
You're going to be absolutely blown away. This is a little rabbit trail, but I'm going to share this because I think it's relevant. My wife and I, we lived in a condo, absolutely happy there. We loved it. It was big. It was a 3-bedroom condo. We had no issues with it. But something was like just stirring, and I want a house. I just want a house. And so we would just, you know, kind of do the open house thing and look around, and we really can't afford this. We just can't afford it. And finally, we just decided, you know what, let's just see. So we put our condo on the market and sold in 2 days. Sold in, the first person who saw it bought it. And he agreed to let us live there until we found a house, because we hadn't even found a house yet. Yeah. Right? So we started doing all the math, and okay, well, we pay, you know, this is our mortgage, and then we pay our, what do you call it, your HOA? Association dues. There you go. So if we put all that, oh, yeah, well, this is how much our mortgage would be, or, you know, we could afford. Got our realtor, and okay, this is what we can afford. This is what we're looking at. So every day he would email us a list of houses. And so, oh, well, okay, let's go look at this. 2 weeks he would, and I think we only actually looked at about 5 houses. And finally he says, you know what, you guys, I think let's go bump it up. Let's go up. Let's raise the price up a little bit just to see. And Tiff and I said, well, okay, well, let's just look. The next day, on the list was a house, 5 bedrooms. And let me just say that our best friends are missionaries in Taiwan, and so when they come home, they stay with us. So we always have to have in our mind, okay, where will Denise and Diane stay when they come home? We have to have a place that really makes them feel like it's their home. I said, Tiff, 5 bedrooms, wow.
Praise God.
Let's take a look at that. But it's like, I don't know if we can afford it because it was really out of our price range. Well, let's just go look. So we went, and our realtor took us in the middle of the day, and it was great. The yard was great. It had a nice little white fence, and it was empty. So it was like a realtor, it was a flip. So, you know, all nice new paint, new carpet, blah, blah, blah. I walk in the front door and I just went, wow, this is it.
This is home.
As soon as I walked in the front door, I knew that this was it. And we, you know, walked in. And what was really awesome is 2 bedrooms are like at the very front. So, and they have French doors, so there's actually some real privacy. So one living room for Denise and a bedroom, so they actually have their own living space, and then the rest of the house, you know, with the other 3 bedrooms, so they really could have their own space. And I go, oh my gosh, Tiff, this is like just perfect. So we walked out and we looked at each other, and I said, Tiff, I feel like this is it. And she goes, me too. And then I said, okay, let's get my mom. Some of you, I think, might have met my mom, but most of you didn't. She went to be with the Lord 4 years ago. But she was just a mighty woman of the Lord, and I just so trusted. We both just so trusted her. And so I said, Mom, okay, you and my stepdad, Dean, I said, you guys need to come over here and just, you know, let me know what you think. So they came over, and she was just about doing a Holy Ghost dance in the living room. And she goes, yeah, I think this is right. Well, like that, we got it. We were in it in like 45 days. I say all that to say this, is that we are faithful tithers. And, you know, we give offerings, and God blessed us. Because we didn't think we could afford it, and actually we've been able to more than afford it. We've been able to, you know, provide a place for Denise and Diane to be, that they have their own space. That's how God works.
Amen.
That's how God works. You think you can't do something, but God honors your faithfulness. And, you know, here's the thing. It's not even how much it is. It's your faithfulness. If your tithe is a dollar, then that, and you know, remember the story, the widow? She gave all she could. You know what? But God blessed her. How about the widow where Elijah, he went and said, "Hey, I need you to feed the prophet. I need you to give me something to drink and something to eat." And she said, "But this is all I have. And if I give this to you, then my son and I are, we're going to starve and we're going to die." And he says, "Woman, go make me a cake." Amen. Guess what happened? The whole time there was a drought, guess what? She had all that she needed. I could tell you so many more stories because, you know, I love that. The woman who he talked to about the oil, right? You go get, just go get all the containers and pour the oil. And just kept, and they ran out of containers. They didn't run out of oil. Amen. Hello? Amen. They ran out of containers. Are you getting it? It's the key is the faithfulness in our heart. It's not how much. It's God, I don't care how much. It's about your heart. How are you giving it? And your faithfulness to giving it. That's what really matters. Okay, now where was I? We broke the curse of poverty. There we go. Okay. Yeah, that was way, but I just wanted to share that because I think it's important for us to understand. Amen. We've got to understand it. God blesses us when we are faithful. Amen. He blesses us and blesses us beyond our imaginations. Because, you know, you'll ask God for one little thing. Guess what? God gives you a big thing because you have been so faithful. You know, God, what's the scripture? Don't despise the small things, right? Because you might start with small things. Don't despise those. Because you know what? When you're faithful with that little, oh, you better watch out. Amen. You better watch out. Because God is watching. And I'm telling you, when you have the right heart condition, when your heart's in the right place, and you're faithful, God's going to blow you away. Amen. As my mom would say, he's going to blow your socks off. Because he will. He's going to do that. Okay, the fourth place Jesus shed his blood was on the cross. And it's when the soldiers pounded the spikes into his hands. But you know, God placed all authority, here we go back to Adam and Eve in Genesis 1, 26 through 28. God placed all authority in their hands. Remember, God gave them dominion over the garden, right?
Yes.
They only couldn't do one thing. They had dominion over everything. But when Adam disobeyed God, God took the authority away. I can't trust you. I asked you just one thing, but you have dominion over everything else. But when Jesus' blood was shed, when those nails pierced his hand and that blood began to flow, guess what? We got back dominion.
Amen.
We regained dominion. What does that mean? Every time I touch... When I touch, I have authority.
Amen.
I have authority. When you lay hands on someone to pray for them that are sick, I got authority over that. Because we have dominion. We have authority and dominion over all things. Because the Lord's blood was shed for us, so we would have that. So we can go with authority. We don't have to go all scared.
That's right.
We can go and we say, oh no, Christ gave me the authority. And you know, I just got to say this. When you think about the authority that you have because of that, But think about it when you have the Holy Spirit. That's like a double barrel. That's like a double barrel shotgun. Because now you're talking about a lot of authority. A lot of authority. The fifth place he shed his blood was when the spikes were driven into his feet. Every place our feet should tread, every place we should walk, God has given us authority. Every time, you know, I'm walking, I got authority over this. I got authority over this. And then, when I'm walking and then I start touching, wow. Remember when I talked about the atmosphere? Mm-hmm. So now we're talking, now we're walking, now we're touching. Do you think there's nothing impossible? Amen. You know, all things are possible with God. Amen. All things are possible because of the power and the authority he has given us, because he broke the curses. We don't have to live beat down.
Amen.
We don't have to live bound up.
Amen.
We don't have to live in a prison. God, through Jesus, shed blood, gave us the power and the authority to have freedom.
Amen.
It wasn't just salvation, y'all. It wasn't just salvation. We are the head. We are not the tail. Amen? We are in the front, not in the back. We are above. We are not beneath anymore. We are above. I'm treading on the enemy. You know, what is it? The enemy is the Lord's footstool. Because he is under our feet. Most serpents are on the ground, right? They slither on the ground. Well, you know what? I can walk all over them or shoot them like your daddy did, that rattlesnake.
Amen.
You just got to get this in your mind. You got to see it in your head. You've got to see it. And I think once you begin to see it, you got to get it in your spirit. You got to get it here, because this is where it really starts happening, is you have to believe it. You have to believe it. You know, Joshua and the Israelites, they got it about the walking. Right? Took them 7 days, but they walked.
Better than 7 years.
They walked. They walked around Jericho. They walked, and that's all, they walked, and they praised. And they walked and they praised. They walked and they praised. And on the 7th day, they gave a shout. And what happened?
Walls came tumbling down.
They understood the authority. Amen. Because every place our feet should trod, we have authority. In your neighborhood. At your work.
Amen.
You know, even at work when you touch things, you know, God has anointed you. At your work. He's anointed you. And so when you touch it, you have authority over the things that you do at work. And you should do it the very best as well. Because I think God requires us to always do our very best. Not to just do it halfway, but to do the very best. The sixth place Jesus shed his blood was when the soldiers pierced his side with a spear and blood poured out. It was the weight of our sins that broke his heart. Yet, this is so amazing. The weight of our sins, it broke his heart, yet he healed the brokenhearted. His heart was broken. But he healed our broken heart. In Luke 4:18, it says that Jesus was anointed to destroy the yoke and to heal the brokenhearted.
Amen.
You see, Jesus wants us to live with joy in our life, joy and peace. Even when we go through struggles, we should still have joy. We really should. Because the thing is this is just temporary. It's just stuff.
Amen.
My oldest daughter, she is like, I keep asking myself, where did you come from sometimes? She like gets all worked up over, and I say, Jessica, wait a minute. You calm down, you know. She got a notice, her oldest son, he's going to be 4 in October, and he's going to start preschool. So there's this big whole thing about preschool. So she wants him to go to this one place, but I guess this preschool is having a new campus. So she gets this letter, and she thinks that he's going to have to go to this new campus. And she's in an uproar over it. All day long, she's trying to call him. They don't answer their phone. She's crying. And she called me, I don't know, I think it was about 6 p.m. She's telling me all this, and I said, why are you so upset? You don't know what's going on, but you've already have in your mind this perception of what's going to happen, but yet you don't have any information. Why do you spend a whole day over something like this? We got to stop that.
Amen.
That's a lot of wasted time. Mm-hmm. That was probably at least 10 hours in a day. And what did you get out of it? Craziness, frustration, probably yelled at the kids, kicked the dog, yelled at the husband, you know. I mean, really. We really allow... Oh, speaking of dogs. Oh no. We allow situations just to kind of run our life. Why? Why do we do that? Yeah, oh, that's good. Fear. Yeah. So, and I think control. When we don't have control, we freak out. Who freaks out when they don't have control? Come on. Everybody should be raising their hands. Because there's got to be a little bit of freak out when you don't have control. Some of us have a lot of freak out. Some of us have issues with control. We'll pray for you later. But, you know, just try sometimes, instead of getting irritated, frustrated, freaking out, just start praising.
Amen.
Lord, thank you for this situation. I don't understand it. I don't know the outcome. But, Lord, if I trust you, it should be I do trust you, you're going to work it all out. You know, and that's the thing. We need to live like that. We need to go, God, I don't understand. I don't understand, but I have to trust you because I know that you want the very best for me. And at the beginning, the answer might not be, okay, this is not going to work out. But when you look back, you go, I get it now. Okay, I get how come you sent me here to work. I understand now why I got this job. But at that time when you gave me that job, I had no idea. But during that time I was at that job, I was able to speak into somebody's life. Because we don't know. But if we trust God and we know that he ordains our steps, then we have to believe that he wants the very best for us. Amen?
Amen.
So, back to the brokenhearted. Probably many of us have had many situations in our life where we were devastated, you know, by a situation, a person, a comment, whatever. But you know, the Lord already gave himself so that your brokenhearted would be healed. He wants to do that today. You know, Pastor Tony talked about it last night a little bit. Jesus' desire is for you to have joy in your life. joy and peace and to experience his love on a continual basis. He doesn't want your heart to be hurt. He wants that heart to be made whole again. And sometimes it's difficult, you know, because of the situation. It's hard to forget, you know, and we do have someone that continues to remind us of those situations, those words, or whatever happened. But I can tell you from personal experience that Jesus can fill up those places where your heart's been broken with peace and joy and love.
Amen.
But here's the deal. You have to let him. He wants to. He wants to do that, but you have to let him do it. Because one thing about Jesus, he's not going to force himself on you. He's not. But I can tell you he wants to. Every time a word was spoken to you, or something might have happened to you, somebody did something to you, and caused a scar and a memory, I can tell you that Jesus can erase those memories. I can tell you that Jesus can place his healing salve in that place and bring nothing but joy and love. Whatever it is, he can do that. The last place that he shed his blood was on his bruises. He was bruised for our iniquities, right?
Yes.
That,
he was
wounded. Yeah, right. So you know what a bruise is? It's actually a contusion under the skin, which is blood. So a bruise is, I talked about earlier about generations, about things being passed down, iniquities and stuff, and that happens. So things, you know, if you look back, you know, with your family, and you could see, well, how come this kept happening? How come, you know, this and that? There was have a young woman in our church that you know, talking with her, and she's really struggled with poverty, just never being able to really get out of poverty. But it's been in her family for years and years, you know, and so we've had to pray with her and to really, just really break through that understand. That's all she knew. And, you know, there's a scripture that says it's the truth that you know that sets you free. So it's what you know that will set you free. So if you didn't know that that's what's going on in your life, well, how are you going to be set free from it? So it was really about giving understanding and teaching her. And it's so awesome. She finally, I mean, we've been praying with her for like three years. She finally got a full-time job with benefits and everything. So it was very exciting, you know, to finally see some breakthrough in her life. But that's what iniquities, that's just an example of an iniquity. But there's, you know, so many. You know, if you just kind of look back, you could probably see with your family something that's happened over and over and over. I shared with you my family. There was affairs, affairs, affairs. I mean, it just went on and on and on and on. It you know, it's happened with my siblings. So it was like, okay, God, no more. You know, but until you can identify it, you can't stop it. But Jesus' blood, when he was bruised, he said, no more. We can stop the generation curses. We can stop it. If you look at King David, it happened with them. With David and Bathsheba, and then his son, his Absalom, right? raped his sister. You know, so it's like, okay, we got to stop this now. So the fact is you recognize that and you go, okay, we're not going to have this anymore. And the great thing is that Jesus can do it. And he can stop it. And he can stop it in your life. He can stop it in your life. Whatever it is. Whatever you're going through right now. I just really feel like these areas that I talked about today, I'm going to venture to say probably all of us have a struggle with one of them. One of them, if it's our will, brokenheartedness, maybe the bruises, understanding our authority, understanding what we have when we can touch things. Maybe the whole poverty mindset, I don't know. But I can tell you today that Jesus can make a difference if you say, I need you to make this happen for me. Amen. I need this to be broken in my life.
Amen.
I need to be set free. Because that's what the power of the blood does. It sets us free. It sets us free from our sin. It saved us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That in itself, you know, that takes me to the moon. But then when I begin to understand everything else that the blood does for me, there's nothing like it. And there, you know, the power in the blood, that's such an old hymn. But I understand it now. I get it. There's so much power in it.
Amen.
We got to understand the power of it.
Yes.
It brings life. It's not gory. It's not gory. It brings life to us. It brings freedom to us. That's the thing. It will bring freedom in a way that you've not experienced. There is power in the blood. And so what I want to do is I do want communion. We're going to have communion. So today, if you, you know, choose to participate in taking communion, I want it to be a different experience for you. I don't want it just to be the juice and the bread, the blood and the body. I want you to see it as Jesus breaking you free, making you whole. I want you to see it as I don't have to carry this crap with me anymore. I don't have to be chained up. I don't have to be in a prison anymore. But that I actually am free and I can be made whole. I can be sozo. I can be made whole physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. Wherever that fits in for you. I don't know. But I do know this. That he's here. And I know he wants to do something in your life. I have felt it since the moment I got here. And all you got to do is make that one step. That's all you got to do. He'll do the rest. But you've got to say, I need it. I need you. I need you to do this in my life. And he'll do it. He'll do it. You just have to say, I need you to do this. Whatever it is. and he'll do it. So, yes, go ahead, please. This is how we're going to do it. It's going to be here, and you're going to come up here, and you're going to take the bread. You can dip it. And just in this, I'm believing that something's going to happen for you.
Yes.
I'm believing that in this act, because I'm a big proponent for symbolic stuff. I love to do prophetic acts because I believe it does a lot of things. So I'm believing that as you do this and you say, Lord, I'm taking your body and your blood that you shed for me, and you shed for me for more than my salvation. And I know that your body was broken for me. That as I take this, Lord, I know you're going to do something in my life. And you know what it is. And you speak that to him in your prayer. He's going to do it. He's going to do it. I know he will. And so, I just say, come. He's waiting. He's waiting to heal you. He's waiting to make you whole. He's waiting to mend the broken heart. Whatever it is, he's here. And he's ready.
From day to day, it will never.
I'm going to just say that if there's anybody who would like prayer, I know that Pastor Tony and Pastor Janet and I would be more than willing to pray with any of you. So I'll just leave that open. And if you want to go out and enjoy the day, that's awesome too. But if you all need prayer or want prayer, don't hesitate. Okay? I love you. And I know God's doing awesome things. Doing awesome things in here right now. To the lowest valley.